Good evening, everyone, to HCC's analyst meet for Q2 FY23. In this webinar, we are joined by our Vice Chairman, Mr. Arjun Dhawan, CEO, Mr. Jasprit Bhullar, CFO, Mr. Rahul Rao, and other members from HCC team. I'm Santosh Rai, Operations Director and Chief Business Officer of the company. So we will start with the order book position. The company, as of quarter ended 30th September, has an order backlog of 13,784 crore rupees, and this is again well distributed across the four business lines where the company operates. Majority of the order is still being led by the transportation sector, in line with the market conditions, and Uttarakhand continues to be a state where we have the maximum order backlog as of now, followed by Maharashtra and Gujarat. Key highlights for the financials at the consolidated level, the group revenue is at 2499 crore versus 2776 crores for Q2 FY22. Consolidated profit of 319 crore in this quarter versus a profit of 139 crore in Q2 FY22. Standalone ENC turnover is 1249 crores in current quarter versus 932 in the previous quarter. EBITDA margin excluding other income is standing at 18% in Q2 FY23 versus 5% in Q2 FY22. Again, coming to standalone profit, is standing at 313 crore in this quarter compared to a loss of 159 crore in Q2 FY22. This strong operational performance and earnings during this quarter are largely driven by the improved operational efficiencies of the organization through a much leaner and efficient organization. We are fully on track on the sale of BFHL stake to the prospective buyer, and the debt carve-out resolution plan has been successfully completed. This is a snapshot of how the HCC's balance sheet will look post debt resolution, and you can see the position in September 22 versus March 22, both for the HCC and SPV. Highlights of this is that the annual interest cost accrual is going to reduce from 950 crore to 400 crore. The interest income accrual is going to reduce from 240 to 75 crore. HCC will continue to hold awards and claims worth 1300 crore and 4000 crore respectively. And the net asset value of HCC is also driven by Steiner AG, land assets, BOT asset, BFHL, definitive sale term signed, as I explained in the previous slide. We can explain these numbers in detail into the Q&A session for a particular question. In terms of new business, the company has submitted bids worth 6,000 crore. They are under evaluation. And we are also in the process of submitting new bids almost to the tune of 17,000 crore in the remaining part of this FY23. Focus is going to continue to remain on high-value jobs in sectors where the company has specific capabilities, largely in the areas of urban infra and hydro. We will consolidate our order booking in existing geographies where we are having a lot of setup so that we can, economize the scale what we have. We are also exploring strategic collaborations with capable partners to mitigate our risks on certain complex jobs and also to improve the availability of the company. Post RP, the bankers will release the BGs, which will facilitate normal business, and we will look to book orders with this support in our hand. In terms of operations update, what you are seeing on the screen is the Anjikhad Bridge. This is one of the longest cable straight bridge which the company is making for Indian Railways, and more than 60% of the job stand completed. What you are seeing is the segment launching is in progress at the bridge site. This is the update for Tehri PSP, where the works are going on in full swing at the machine hall. and the headrest tunnel lining is in progress. Vishnugarh Pipalkoti, again the dam excavation on the left bank and right bank is in full swing and the works are continuing with full pace. These are the pictures of the TBM adit and the TRT outfall. Nikacho Dam, majority of the dam concreting has been completed. Desander work is also completed. In fact, the site is more than 93% complete and the finishing works are now in progress. Tunnel T49A, which is one of the longest tunnels for the railways and an important part of Udhampur-Srinagar Baramulla rail link project. What you're seeing on the screen is, you know, we are preparing now for the track laying and some of the portions with the lining is complete into the fag end and that work is in progress. These are some of the bridges connecting between tunnels and the work is in is almost in the final stages now here. Similar, another bridge here. These are the pictures showing you the progress of the station works in Mumbai Metro project. Grant Road, Kalba Devi, CST and other stations. On Coastal Road, again, we have achieved a good amount of progress. Substantial reclamation work has been completed and now the activities are in full swing going on for the marine sections, both for the bridges and also for the bridges which are onto the land section. Other works like car park and everything has also started on the project. Segment launching on the land and then the main bridge portion in the marine portion. This is the dam project of Parman dam project. I'm not going to read these numbers. We have you know, discussed them and for any specific comments we'll discuss in the Q&A session, but this is the consolidated level financials for quarter 2 FY23 and they are compared both YOY and QOQ. HSC standalone financials. In concessions business, the construction at Bhagiratha Bridge is in full swing. What you're seeing is the superstructure work on the river is ongoing. In terms of business performance, turnover for the BFHL, which is our package 3 of the NH34 project, is 31.8 crore. Average daily collection is like 34.6 lakh and you can see the PCU growth, but this PCU growth is largely, you know, over Q2 FY22 and the growth is due to the increase in traffic after COVID restrictions have gone. And the positive side of the RDHL package 5 where we had the EOT award. Now NHI has deposited almost 317 crore in court against the total award of 935 crore. Steiner AG, the company has a closing order backlog position of around 7,365 crores as of 30th September 2022. Order intake during this quarter was 747 crore and the turnover for this quarter is 146 million Swiss francs, totaling to 1183 crore rupees at a PAT of 49 crores versus a turnover of 232 million, which is like 1844 crores against a PAT of 223 crores versus the previous quarter. Thank you, and we are ready to take any more questions.
I request everybody to raise your hand so that we can then allow you to speak, please. Okay, Saurabh, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the individual shareholder. I just wanted to know for the debt resolution, are all the approvals in place or is there any kind of paperwork or some final approval still awaited?
So everything has been completed as far as our resolution plan is concerned.
Okay, thank you.
There was one more hand which was raised and then it was removed. Okay, Hitesh, please go ahead. Hitesh Agarwal, please go ahead. Unmute yourself.
Yeah. Is my voice audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to understand for the EPC business, what is the revenue growth rate we are seeing for the next steady state revenue growth rate for the next 2 years, and what will be the EBITDA margins in this business?
Hitesh, Santosh Rai here.
Okay.
To your first part, that what kind of growth we are looking over next 2 years, we can say we are looking growth to the tune of 10-12% on our existing revenue position. And the margins will continue to be in line with the industry standards for the EPC business, which are like, lower teen kind of numbers. That's where the margins will continue to remain.
Just, I want to just add to that number, I think from a growth perspective for the next year will be that, because as we start to take on new jobs, now the lag with which they start to flow into our revenue growth and our earnings growth will certainly be there. But we certainly look to ramp that up and generate a 20%+ growth. And obviously, we're working off of a low base, so you're going to see a substantial increase in growth in our revenue, and our earnings should actually see because of the operating leverage that we have, to see a greater benefit as we actually start to take advantage of some of the substantial net asset value that we have in terms of the realization of our remaining awards and claims, some of the sale of our non-core assets. And the further lightening of our balance sheet. So the earnings should actually, probably, I imagine, do better as a result of, a substantial top line growth as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Riddhi, please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. So my question was, there's an increase of 1,000 crore in non-current trade receivables. So wanted to know what is resulting into that.
Girish, can you please take this question?
Yeah, sure. Riddhi, Girish Gangal, the non-current trade receivables are nothing but the awards which are left with SCC. You'll appreciate on closure of resolution plan, majority of the awards and some amount of claims were transferred to a separate SPV. And the awards which are left with SCC, wherein the matters are going on further in the courts or otherwise, since the receivable, the period in which these monies could be received is more than 1 year, they have to be classified as non-current account receivable.
Okay. Because simultaneously, there's a 1,000 crore increase in the borrowings also. So that's why I was asking.
No, the borrowings, see, because of the resolution plan, if you see, there is a comparative structure what Santosh has shown in his presentation. Earlier, we had borrowings and we had unpaid interest, which was lying as a current liabilities or a non-current liability, whichever way you call it. So all those liabilities got merged and we have issued a fresh NCD. That's why they have moved from a 2-3 heads into a 1 head of borrowing now, post-resolution plan. That's why this change you are finding in borrowing.
So, in the standalone books, you are saying that the 1,000 crore increase in borrowings is SPVs?
No. This is of SCCs only. Within SCC, we had loans and we had unpaid interest for past.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Now fresh NCDs are issued, so now everything has moved out to a borrowing. That's why it is moved from a current liabilities or current financial liabilities to the borrowing.
Okay, but I don't see current liabilities coming down.
The financial.
I think other financial liabilities have come down, so maybe it could be that.
But the Lavasa liabilities were classified there.
So that
also got shifted to borrowing now.
Okay. And in the consolidated books, how will the SPV numbers be accounted?
The SPV presents 100% subsidiary. So it's a normal, consolidation which happens with 100% subsidiary.
Okay, so the debt which has gone, the 2,800, those will be visible in the balance sheet, and so it is included in the 5,000 crores.
Very much.
Okay. Just a minute. Okay, so now after this debt resolution, should we expect that no more defaults will on the debt and interest payments will come?
You should absolutely expect that. And I'm sorry that you have to ask that question.
Yeah, just getting clarity. Okay. Okay, that's it. I got my answers. Yeah. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, Hitesh.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, what are the plans for the QIP, and if you could give any timelines for the QIP?
I addressed this the last time. We're going to time that for when we actually need that extra liquidity for growth. At this point in time, we're in a fairly comfortable position. But, when we actually go to market to actually have that extra dry powder on our balance sheet, you will certainly, as all our stakeholders and investors, be the first to know.
My second question is, do the promoters plan to reduce encumbrance on their shareholding?
Yeah, no, we certainly do. So, look, first of all, it's only part of the shares that are encumbered. But certainly the goal is to actually to do that. It's something that we can also discuss offline, please.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, Avinash, please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Avinash.
Yeah, so in one of the slides, you spoke about bank guarantees getting released. Give us some sense, post this restructuring, what kind of bank guarantees you're talking about. And you also spoke about the interest reductions. And what is the possibility that what kind of interest rates we pay right now? And 1 year, 2 year down, what it can potentially come down to. Just give us a sense how balance sheet improvement and will help us.
Let me take that, because I'm not sure we go into that level of detail in terms of the specific limits in working capital. But broadly, I will say that we have, for the our engineering construction business, that we have close to about 5,000 crores of operational operations bank guarantees. That's for our operations and new business. Those are the sanction limits. There's obviously a substantial chunk of that that's unutilized, because our limits were not utilized, or we weren't able to draw down on a portion of that during the completion of the resolution plan. You will appreciate that during this time we've also completed many projects, many bank guarantees were returned to us. So we have a substantial dry powder now to utilize those for new business. That's one. We also have had sanctioned to us a substantial portion of you know, arbitration bank guarantees or court bank guarantees. These are special financial guarantees that have been sanctioned to us for the purposes of utilizing as security in court to actually, you know, take monies out, you know, against arbitration awards, should we want to have that available to us in the short term. And that will primarily be used for the prepayment of debt. And so the banks have that, you know, we've arranged for that facility with the banks. And as a result of that, you know, we should certainly look forward to, and our goal is clearly to actually not to deleverage faster than the repayment periods that we've agreed to in the resolution plan. That's the answer to the second question. The third is that the overall debt in HCC largely is to the tune of approximately about, our average cost of debt is close to about 11 to 11.5%. This is largely, you know, fixed rate debt that is over the course of the next 10 years. It's not going to really fluctuate with the change in the interest rate environment or with an inflation environment. And to be very specific, we have the OCDs that are 11.5% yield to maturity. And then we have the other debentures related to the Lavasa debt that we have guaranteed and now I'll cease to call that Lavasa debt. Is now HCC debt, which ranges between 9.5% to about 11.5%. So on average, that debt is yielding about 10.5%. So weighted average of all the debt in HCC's books is probably around closer to 11.5. Girish, correct me if I'm wrong. And the SPV debt, which is now off of HCC's balance sheet, also carries a yield to maturity of 11.5%. And that's important to know because, as we've said in the past, the arbitration award assets that are in the SPV are generally carrying a post-award interest of a higher than 11.5%. So you have a positive equity impact over the period of time that the awards get realized. And obviously, we care about that because we have 49% owners in that company, and we are expecting a substantial portion, you know, to be recovered over the coming years once the leverage in that SPV is paid.
Okay, one more question, two more questions basically. So one is, what is the payment schedule for the current year and next year in terms of our what we have to repay? And in the SPV created for this restructuring, do HCC standalone has recourse in case we realize more than what is it meant for?
No, I'm sorry. I'll let the team answer the second question. By the way, the full debt repayment schedule should be available to you online. But if they're not, I think the team can answer those questions. Could you repeat your second question in terms of recourse? I didn't understand that.
So whatever is realized as per the restructuring plan, so what we have transferred our claims, etc., which is almost 2.6, 2.7x the...
It's a 2.25 cover.
Okay, 2.25 cover. So whatever is realized more than that, as per the restructuring plan, does it close back to the standalone?
It absolutely does.
Okay. Okay, that's all from my side. I'll have the data.
And the team can provide you with the debt repayment schedules. I think we've already shared that online in our previous presentations, available online.
Yeah.
But the team can provide that to you.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thanks.
Yeah.
Rakshit, you may please go
ahead. Santosh. Hi, Arjun. Rakshit here.
Hi, Rakshit.
Arjun, no questions in particular. Just wanted to, on record, show our appreciation for your perseverance to get through with the debt resolution plan, and wanted to wish the entire team all the very best for this new exciting journey ahead. So we're very happy to be part of that journey, and all the very best.
That's very, very kind of you. And look, I think it's probably us that are thankful to all of you as our most important stakeholders. Because look, I mean, it's been a longer journey than we'd all anticipated. And certainly in this longer journey, you know, we probably
have not created as much value for you all as we would have liked. But you know, look, we're through it. I think it's been a colossal team effort with a lot of people in the company having shown tremendous loyalty, tremendous willpower, and you know, and operations has functioned. You know, you can imagine EPC company. That's perhaps the function of our 100-year legacy that we've functioned without the support of working capital for the last 2.5 years, and we've come through a fairly difficult period, and hopefully now we can actually generate the kind of value that you all deserve.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Arjun. Thank you.
Mayank, please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Arjun. Congratulations for the debt resolution plan, because that was the hot topic going on for quarters, but I think that's a full stop we have got into there. I have 2 points. One is regarding the promoter shareholding. Like in the debt resolution plan, wherever you stated that there is no change in holding, but later on, like of course, this shareholding pattern, we see like 7%, at most 7% is reduced. So, like, is there anything going on in that area? Like, because we see like something.
So, happy to discuss that offline. Let me just point out that there's only a partial obligation, you know, with regard to the promoter group, and you know, the promoter group is various entities that have some of the shares encumbered, some are not. Some that there's a certain minimum requirement for our holding, and none of that, as far as our banks is unchanged in terms of our requirement. And I think what you've seen as a reduction is a function of promoter leverage and encumbrances coming off. And we can discuss some of this. I would appreciate, offline, please.
Okay. And one more thing is, like I was going to the result, Steiner AG, like there is a lot of reduction going on quarter by quarter, like, because the performance was good. So is there any commentary on that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of lumpiness, Mayank, with regard to Steiner's result. That's a function of a few things. One, as a company, Steiner has evolved from a purely PCGC or a contracting business to actually much more of a real estate development company. And when I say real estate development company, that doesn't involve a lot of lockup of capital. We have, as part of the track record of real estate development, and in Switzerland, it's a long affair to be able to meticulously plan real estate projects and actually have the buy-in of a very, very democratic cantons. It takes 3, 4, 5 years to get those permissions in place. And these are usually options that the company has with landowners, which then get, once the permissions come into place, get funded by pension funds and investors. So we really have about $1.5 billion Swiss francs of track record with pension funds, and other investors that have actually put money in the real estate portfolio, which, by the way, has grown to a size that will, when finally completed, will actually be nearly about 5 to 6 billion in size. The business, as a result of that, generates substantial fees. It generates very, very lucrative construction contracts for the contracting arm. And the reason I'm actually giving you a little bit of this history is that in this last about, 6 months, we've had such a substantial increase in rates driven by the Federal Reserve playing catch up because they were behind the curve for so long. You've had around the world a shakeup in most of the systems. Switzerland, by the way, is an incredibly, incredibly stable country, very little, relatively speaking, very conservative leverage, which is given on personal loans. Mortgage rates, by the way, irrespective of where the rate environment is, always remain at 5%, which is wonderful because you don't have excesses that get created in the system. But what has happened is that most pension funds that when they invest in multi-class assets, they have certain caps in terms of how much they can put in one sector. And in many cases, the cap in real estate is 30%. So we have many. So what's happened, ironically, is that while real estate has remained extremely stable, and in fact, in an inflationary environment, it's become the sought-after asset class. So in fact, we're more excited now about the future of the business. The irony has been that because equity portfolios, the value of equity portfolios has fallen 30-40% in some cases, as a percentage of the total value, real estate has hit the caps. The sectoral caps have been hit for real estate in so many pension funds that they have to take a pause before they're actually able to put money back in. So there's some projects that we have that are, you know, that where stuff is signed, we're just waiting to actually, you know, commercialize them, that is, you know, sell them and actually have those monies flow. And that perhaps has created a little bit of a working capital impact in the short run. At the same time, what that does is create because there's a lumpiness to some extent outside of the contracting business, which is more regular. There's a bit of lumpiness in terms of when some of these, you know, portfolio sales take place. And when those happen, you actually see, you know, some of the profits actually move. But otherwise, you know, there is a fair consistency in earnings. A much longer answer than you would have expected. But, you know, it's important that I actually, you know, that point is clarified.
Thank you, Arjun. How do you see our India business? Like, because now that everything is resolved, so how do you see HCC over the next few quarters? Like, is it something you're taking time to pick up, or is it something on track, everything on track, because the preservation plan was
So we're very privileged to be part of the India infrastructure story, right? I think that we're, to be very honest, fed up with dealing with issues that are not related to engineering and construction. And I say that in a good sense, is that, you know, the resolution plan just sucked up a lot of time managements in the past, you know, number of months. Our focus now is squarely on strong relationships with our clients, is winning large new jobs, and obviously focusing on a certain size and a certain kind of complexity where there's the competition is less. And the benefit, perhaps the only benefit of not actually having grown in these past few years, is that we see a very large market before us where we can be very selective about where we are part of a very small club, you know, in terms of finding the opportunities that we need to do. And we will obviously be very, very conscious and conservative on pricing of risk as well. So I think in terms of growth, while Santosh has communicated fairly conservative growth in our top line, I have to be a little more positive. And I think the only constraint that we will have in growing faster is, and faster responsibly, of course, is capital. So I think from here on, give us at least the next 3 to 6 months to really build that order backlog and then talk about that intelligently.
Thank you, Arjun. All the best here.
Appreciate
Thank you so much
that.
For elaboration here.
Thank you.
Ashish, you may please go ahead. Ashish, unmute, please.
Thanks a lot. And congratulations, Arjun, for finally getting the debt resolution done. A couple of quick questions. A is that from the India businesses, to take off from what your last answer was, do we need another, do we need an equity infusion, or how do you kind of see that? Or do we have sufficient room from a working capital perspective to start growing at least for the next 12 months? And B was, when do you expect the closure of the sale of the road asset, and what kind of liquidity do you expect out of that?
So the closure, I'll go in reverse. The closure of our sale of Berhampur Farakka should be announced relatively shortly. I mean, it's going to happen this quarter, but it's definitely not going to happen towards the end of the quarter. I'm expecting that, to close in the coming weeks. That's the answer to the first question. The second is in relation to equity. Now, certainly the one thing that I imagine, you know, any equity shareholder, including us, the promoter group, is conscious of is having a dilution of shareholding, and certainly dilution of shareholding is not accretive. Now, we will be extremely conscious of raising funds that are exclusively going to be accretive towards earnings. And I think that that's the most responsible thing that we can do for our shareholders, is generate that strong EPS, generate that strong EPS growth. I think that that's one. As I've already said, I think we're going to time that with when we think we need that dry powder. And, certainly it's going to take probably from here on, Santosh, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to take at least 3 to 6 months before we're really in the position to mobilize. Maybe not just 3 months, probably 6 months before we're mobilizing in a big way in any major project, which is going to require perhaps
you know, some additional working capital support or require more funds for growth. That's, I think, you know, but obviously I think that you can't time the market. We've got to be sensible about when we, you know, when we do it so that we have the dry powder when we need it. We're seeing a lot of opportunities. There's tremendous interest in partnerships that third parties have in doing projects with us. And certainly when we're looking at projects that are more than a couple of thousand crores in size and looking at, you know, 4,000-6,000 crore mega projects, those are projects where we have to actually diversify and be in joint venture on. So the sensible thing to do is obviously, you know, have the plan in place. We're obviously also conscious of the fact that we are very, very asset heavy, but those are illiquid, right? And before obviously monetizing or raising equity, my first goal is clearly to be able to generate value and to generate cash flow against the substantial non-core assets and the remaining claims and awards that we have, including some other land assets and so on and so forth that are non-core, before we actually raise equity. So the problem is that when it comes to these illiquid assets, it's, you know, you've got to obviously do that at the right time, generate the right value. And you've got to, you know, these are event driven. So typically sometimes, you know, you're thinking about that not on a monthly basis, but you're thinking about that on a quarterly and semi-annual basis. So the way we're thinking about business, I hope you're going to be a little patient with how we think about it and when we judiciously think of actually raising equity.
Sure. No, I think that's helpful, Arjun. Just to understand, how much capital are we, liquidity are we looking to get out of the, immediate liquidity out of the road asset as after repaying?
Atul, do you want to talk a little bit about that sale? I mean, I think we've already communicated that the enterprise value is close to about 1,300 crores. You know, the base equity is 600 crores. There's a substantial earnout on top of that. There is also a 300 crore loan available, facility available to us, which is a securitization of actually future, you know, revenue share or overloading revenue that we have. So if you look at the sum of the parts, and, you know, I think that we've communicated this in the past, we can get you that information offline, so you know precisely the kind of liquidity that will flow to us upfront in the, as soon as the deal closes. And then we have obviously about a 300 crore facility available to us, which we can draw down anytime on. And then in addition to us, there's another approximately 300 crores of earnout that will be in two phases, one which will be about 12 to 18 months from now, and then there'll be another which will be about 24 months from now. Atul, do you want to add anything to that? Yeah, I think Atul's on the call, but if he's not...
No, I'm there, sir, but I think you've covered it mostly.
Sure. Maybe we can discuss it offline, but
we'll get you those details. We'll get you that specific detail offline. Ashish, Rahul, can we make sure that we make a note wherever yes. follow ups are required, and we'll get that information.
Sure.
Yes.
I'll just drop a message and connect offline.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ashish. Thanks for your best wishes.
Avinash, you have something to say?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So one is because of the working capital issues, the BGs, we were not able to draw down against our sanctions, etc. So one is our ability to grow was one reason was working capital. Anything from a regulatory standpoint, from regulators, etc., which we can do now, which we were not able to do for the past 3 years, become part of some consortium, wherever we are bidding, etc. What specifically we were not able to do otherwise than working capital we'll be able to do now?
No, I'm sorry. Let me answer the question. If it doesn't, there was part of your question which is not clear. There are restrictions on us from a regulatory perspective. I'm not sure what I understand you mean with regard to consortium. Are you talking about us getting into joint ventures, or you're talking us from a banking perspective? But let me put it this way. We're not constrained. We're not in default. Our debt has actually now been restructured in a way where substantial deleveraging is taking place. And, you know, the tenure, the duration of our debt has now been extended such that we have more than enough time to kind of meet our obligations, also grow the business.
And so as far as we are concerned, relative to any of our other competitors in the market, we are not at any disadvantage. And we're looking forward to just getting back to business.
So when I meant from a regulatory perspective was, were we barred from bidding anywhere, if at all?
We are not barred from bidding anywhere. No, I mean, you know.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Any more questions, please? Raise your hand.
No, Sandeep, I don't think there are any more questions. With no further questions, I would like to thank all of you for attending this call and look forward to see you in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.